Hey everyone, what's going on? It's Jose. Just before I get the episode started, wanted to put it out there. February 28th at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood, California. I'm going to be doing the first Awkwardly Social comedy show in over a year. It's going to be a fun one. Plus, it happens to fall on the week of my birthday, so it will be a comedy show and a birthday celebration for me. Come on out. You don't have to pay anything to get in. So long as you get there before 8 p.m., I will put you on the guest list. After that, it's $10 at the door. But if you want tickets, email me, josechavezcomedian@gmail.com. Put in the subject of the email, February 28th, and I will set you up with some free tickets. You will laugh. We will all cry. Probably not cry, but yeah, at least laugh. And maybe some hugs. We'll see, depending on how many shots get bought for me. Either way, guys, enjoy this episode.
Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
We social podcast.
Let's do this thing. All right, so I'm going to be a professional right now, and I'm going to do the introduction and say all this stuff.
Perfect.
Okay.
Is this in the background?
This is the background, yeah. No, I put the music in the beginning.
And do I just stay quiet?
Yeah, you don't say anything until I introduce you. Yeah. Exactly. All right, so although they just heard you right now, so I guess it kind of kills it a little. No, just so if I could. No, you're good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. I have a guest on this one, which is pretty good. You're the first guest of 2019. So that's pretty dope there. I am currently filming on location. Yeah, I may as well say it because it's usually in my living room. So the fact that it's on the road right now, I'd love it.
It's the Diosa Rehab Center.
The Diosa Rehab Center?
Yes.
And Carpet Emporium. So it is, they get everything done here. It's, by the way, I 100% thought when I first met you that your first name was actually Diosa.
Thank you. Got him.
So it took me, I think, a minute before I realized your first name is Christian.
Yeah. I wanted to keep that a secret, but that's the 2019 revelation. Yeah,
oh, do you want me to kill that?
It's good. We good. Okay. You fucking snitch. It's cool.
I know
not to rob a bank with
well,
you. It's cool.
I would be shouting your name from across the way. Be like, hey, Christian, you know how you live off of this street over here? And then I'm like, isn't it convenient how we robbed the place right down the street from you? And, you know, just.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would be really bad at robbing banks. But I'm also not good at that. Like, I feel like I'm too even awkward in that kind of situation.
You're the perfect scapegoat.
I am.
You would be I think there's a specific word where, like, you would be the puppet where we would, like, put.
Your scapegoat's pretty good.
Scapegoat is good, yeah. But I think there's, like, a particular word. But anyways,
I like that.
So we won't rob banks. It's cool.
Fine.
And it's, now everyone
knows
my name.
Let's see
it's
how
cool.
Podcasting goes, and then we'll consider other routes for money.
It's not going well for me. So.
Yeah, we just hold off. We work on this revenue, and then if it's not lucrative for us, then we move on. Okay. So how's about that?
How long do we have to suffer?
You know what?
Realize.
Honestly, we both chose a thing that we do. By the way, hold on. Let me double back before we even get into any of that. So Christian, I'm sorry, Diosa.
Yeah, thank you.
Diosa. I can bleep out the rest of it. I don't mind.
No, okay, it's cool. Good. So, I'm committed now.
All right.
What is this, a minute into it?
Yeah. So her name is spelled Kristen.
You misspelled it.
I know. I did it on purpose. See, I was trying to throw it off a little bit, and you fucked it up. So there you go.
Yes. It's K backwards, like corn.
Yeah, it's a lowercase too. any other way it won't work. No, but I was saying something about podcasting. Oh, yeah. So I met you through comedy. Yes. We have a mutual friend who introduced us, and then you had me on your podcast, which is called Vaya con Diosa.
Yes.
Vaya con Diosa. Is it available on iTunes yet?
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud.
Yeah, SoundCloud's where I would get it.
Yeah, vayacondiosa.com.
Yes.
Vayacondiosapodcast.com.
And I did your podcast, and since then, that was like maybe 3 years ago, and I kept saying, I'm going to, come on mine, and it never worked out. So I'm glad that this time around, we were able to work it out. I was like, I will come to you. I will build the studio if I have to.
And you did.
Yeah, so.
You built it right in front of me.
I'm a mechanic. Yeah. I was doing carpentry for the last 2 days. I think I know what I'm doing here.
You are.
My back is fucking killing me.
Arnica oil.
That's it?
Yeah, arnica oil. You should use that.
I should.
Yeah, it like brings down the inflammation.
Is that like along the lines of like CBD oil and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I feel like it's an herb. It's okay. A natural herb, okay. But it's not like illegal, or it wasn't illegal at a certain point.
Oh, gotcha. So, okay, yeah. I'll look it up. Yeah, I'll look really it up. I'll look it up. Yeah, so yeah, I was doing manual labor for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And
by the way, I told you that must be really awesome. It'd get really beefy.
Oh yeah,
get like, all like all mad.
I both understand why some of them are buff, but I also don't understand why some of them aren't. But like they're also like you could tell that they're strong men. They just aren't like super fit. And
but there's that core. They're just yeah. like really bulky, meaty, yeah. just strong.
Like if you yeah. need to lift up a car, they would be the ones you would call. And yeah. I put my back into. Paint like the painting part yeah. and I was
you put your back into it.
I did. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it was such a like thrust gesture that I made, like it was and I was like rolling the paint on there. I was like, yeah, take that wall. And and I wasn't doing, I mean, I did an okay job, but it's like you're like, okay, you might paint for like an hour or so, and you know, when you're being like, okay, I'm gonna be cutesy and I'm gonna redecorate my kitchen and put the paint up on the wall, and it's kind of fun, and then you like wipe paint on someone's face and you're being cute. It's not like that when you paint for like,
oh,
like
hell
for
no.
work. No, they're no. they're yelling life, at you to yeah. pick up the pace the whole time.
Yeah.
I felt like I was with a personal trainer, but it was my stepdad, and he was like, dude, pick up the pace. You're moving too slow. It's like, oh, sorry, buddy. It's my first time painting in like 10 years. Give me a moment to figure it out.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing the podcasting?
Oh, me? I've been doing it for like 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, really enjoying it. You know, it's beautiful because like, you know, just like you get to build your own world. And mm-hmm. I get to build my own world in the sense of like having people who I find very interesting and just, you know, having conversations with them and just like trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
It's called Vaya con Diosa. It focuses on comedy, culture, and the culinary arts.
Yeah, I definitely noticed the culture of yeah. when I was there. It felt really good. And do you still record out of the same studio?
Yeah, I record live from Boyle Heights from Espacio 1839. Espacio 1839 is a magical place because it's I like to think of it as a radical center.
It is.
It's a book, they sell radical books. It's an art space, pero también, like, they hold, like, art shows, poetry shows, and it's also one of the main places where, you know, what is it, Boyle Heights versus gentrification is, like...
It does feel like a last line of defense where they're like, yeah. look, this place has...
Like a safe
culture.
Space.
Yeah, yeah, and culture not in a way where it's, like, throwing it at your face. Like, you know, when you see certain people where they're like, all right, this is the raza, and they're very much like sort of aggressive in that nature. This is just saying, look, this is where this is a representation of who we are as a culture, the things that we are capable of, and our artistic expressions. So I really fucking love it. Obviously, there's a rebellious aspect to it, yeah. but it's not doing it in like a threatening way, which is something I kind of like fucking dig when I get there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in there. I like to say that it is threatening because through education, that's the most dangerous thing you can do. And what they're doing is that all their books are radical. You know, they talk about like, yeah, like Zapatista stuff. They have stuff about gentrification and Black lives. And it's really cool because the rules of the station is, you know, obviously no racist, homophobic, or, you know, no racist or homophobic remarks.
Mm-hmm.
And also no promotion of the government or the police.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, what's up?
Let me rephrase what I meant. I didn't mean like it's not. I mean, like, it's not threatening. Like, you don't walk in there and somebody's, you know, you feel like you're going to get curb stomped. Like, you know, like when. No. So threatening in a sense to where it's like, yes, your influence could influence others to do something that's a little more cultural, especially something that's a little more diverse. So in that aspect, I get that would be threatening, but I mean like not life threatening. Because, you know, some people, when they try to radicalize or when they try to revolutionize, they think that the natural course is violence or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, I think
violence,
that...
But violence is necessary. And I feel like violence is key.
It'll happen, but it's but it can't be the jumping off point. It has to... I feel like it's escalation, not the how you initiate it, you know?
Yeah, no.
It's like you don't just go into a situation ready to fight it out. Like you try to be a friend or a neighbor before you try to be an enemy. You know what
I mean? My whole approach with like revolution and you know, just thinking like that, thinking like a, let's think like warlords, fuck it. Like yeah. My favorite warlord tactic was definitely the Trojan horse.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not expecting it. It's like, oh my God, they gave us this giant piñata. Qué lindos. This is amazing. And then you just like sucker punch them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Although, I mean, I wonder, like, is there somebody dressed as a piñata? Like
you remember the horse?
They bought, no, I know what the yeah. No, I know the Trojan horse thing. But I'm saying, like, if you were to do a big piñata, like, is it like a person-sized piñata? And then when you swing the stick, they catch it, and the piñata catches it, and it just like turns around and beats the yeah. shit out of you.
That's like, it. Hilarious. Yeah, like ex machina, but an ex piñata.
Yeah. Oh damn. Fucking somebody get on that Hollywood.
What's up? What's somebody up? We're full of ideas. That.
Yeah. So yeah. Listen Jose to this
Chavez
podcast.
And Diosa.
Yeah. That was all you. I think I threw out an action sequence.
You set up the premise, dog. Just take it.
All right. Yeah. All right.
You set up the T-ball.
Full
for
credit.
Me.
By the way, so there's a candle in front of me right now, and there is also a beer in a very similar container. And I almost reached for the candle like twice when I went for the beer.
Oh, let's not do a Ricky Martin video. Okay.
Yeah.
1999, 2019.
I feel like if I'm having a beer, if I have too many beers, I might accidentally drink a candle. Like that's just going to happen at some point in my life, you know?
Well, yeah, let's not manifest that.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, no.
No,
well,
I won't.
Let's not think, yeah.
No, let's not
think. You could go, there's so many consequences to that. You could lose your beard. Lose that wonderful hair of yours, like.
I wouldn't want to do that. That's the breadwinner right there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I feel you on the whole. Like we all have that one thing.
Yeah.
Like I feel like my personality definitely, I gotta work it. So that's my breadwinner.
Yeah.
Your hair.
You walk into a room and you just look around and you're just like, you have this like Devil Wears Prada like attitude when you walk into a room. You just throw your coat at somebody and demand something of someone else.
You really get that vibe from me?
I've gotten that vibe from you.
Really?
Yeah. When I first met you, I didn't, but that's because when I first met you, you were very like, oh, great to meet you. Really excited. You were very optimistic and energetic.
Yeah.
But since then, I feel like I've seen that element of you. Like it's not. I think it's something that you've probably developed more. I don't know. I haven't known you long enough to be able to like assume that it's a new personality trait.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that I started to notice over time.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You know what? It's crazy that you say that because I walk around thinking I'm like Chris Farley or like, you know, just that fucking goofy person.
Yeah. But like falling through tables and shit.
Just like eats a lot and just fucking trips and is just really silly. But I mean, I think also my job, like I've, you know, I kind of have to like be like very assertive. Also, I wear like high heels a lot. Yeah. So it's always just like, I'm mostly in like business casual clothes. And at this point in my life, I'm kind of just.
You got to start wearing power suits. I picture you wearing power suits with heels.
I have. You want to know something really awkward?
What's that?
Okay. And I've been very candid about this on my podcast, but I was on house arrest last year and I was on house arrest for 4 months and my life personally was falling apart, but career wise, amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got like 2 promotions and like, I was, you know, making a lot more money but I was also on house arrest and they didn't know. And one of the things, and one of the reasons why they didn't know is because I was constantly wearing power suits. Mm-hmm. I was constantly wearing fucking bell-bottom pants to hide the ankle bracelet. And everyone at work was like, God damn, you know, Chris, like, you're really stepping it up. Your fashion game is killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't know I was, you know.
So what if you got the promotions because you started dressing for the job you want? Like, you were just like, oh, I got to cover this shit up. And then they look at you, they're saying, you know what? She's looking like she could really be managerial type. Yeah.
Yo,
let's fucking make this happen. Yeah, so next time you get house arrest, you know.
No, there won't be any more. There won't be any more.
Okay.
I vowed myself. Right, being on house arrest sucks.
Yeah, I could imagine. I mean,
no. Have you been on house arrest?
No, but I also just don't like leaving the house. Like so.
Yeah. No, but still, you have the option to fucking go to like Jack in the Box.
That's true. If I didn't have the ability to do that, and it's not even like I could say like, oh, I'll just use Postmates. I can imagine going stir crazy. I fucked up my back a couple years ago, so I couldn't do anything. I couldn't lift anything over 10 pounds. I'd be too active. So I spent a lot of time at home. And that made me go stir crazy. And I had the ability to leave. And I just like, And that was like in,
but you were like,
like a day or two at most, like, you know, maybe like 2-3 days in a row where I wouldn't leave the house. And that made me, but fucking house arrest for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds too much.
Yeah. No. Imagine, okay, going stir crazy, but then like you're humiliated.
Yeah.
You have this thing on your ankle and it's not like it's a cute Fitbit. I don't understand. They can make fucking iPhones so cute and small, but this thing was like a pager. This thing was like a full on, like, you know, cable box.
I'm sure that's intentional. Ankle. They're like, we could make this smaller, but why would we?
Why? Of course. Of course. Fuck you, Popo. Yeah. Fuck you and the system. Whatever. But I mean, and it's crazy because, like, to keep myself humble, now I still wear anklets. I have a gold one now.
I see that. But yeah, and I respect that because that's a message you're saying. Yeah. And then you're also like, again, fucking doing so. That's like a power move right there because you're owning it. You're fucking, you're using it as a tool versus as some form of kryptonite.
Yeah. And that's one thing. I've been very much so open about it now. Like, you know, I posted a picture on my Instagram of like, I actually did a photo shoot with it. And like, I took it into my own hands and like, all right, you can make fun of me or you can like, you know, criticize me and do all these things, but I'm going to do it first.
Did your work find out?
No, they never did. Gotcha. They never did. And like, I mean, I don't follow any like main, like anyone above me. I don't follow them on like social media. Smart. So unless they like check on me. So it's like, okay.
But they wouldn't be able to because they don't know that your name is Diosa.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, but either way, you know, they could still find out. It's pretty easy. So.
That's true. I'm sure. So. I mean, they're your employers. I'm pretty sure an employer can find out what an employee's been up to. It's not too hard.
Also, but I mean, I do really well at work, and you know, I proved myself at work. You know, I made a mistake, and that's what I'm doing is just being open about it. Yeah. I think the person that now that I wouldn't like support me, like, I'm not like, you know, just talking about it would be my mom because obviously this is more so of a hurt for her.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, I can't imagine like, you know, having a child, but then having a child get arrested. Like I've made my mom go through so much and, you know, me and then her, you know, seeing me with that ankle bracelet must be.
But there's there's a real vulnerability to for a parent when it comes to a kid, because it's like, you know, when you feel a little too exposed yourself, like something you're just like, not wearing the right place in the right environment and you feel a little naked and it feels a little uncomfortable. For a parent, that's what it is with a kid, because your kid is your vulnerability. Your kid is your weak spot. So when you see your kid either go through something and then openly talk about it, it's just like they want to protect you and they feel your pain. So so I understand that, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Does she not like you talking about it publicly?
Course not.
No, my mom's like that too. I talk publicly about my depression, but she comes from a time where it's like that kind of stuff was not sort of the public domain kind of conversation. Yeah. So,
of course, what is it that saying, la ropa sucia se lava en casa?
Mm-hmm.
Like you wash your dirty clothes at home.
Yeah.
So if it's like, if you're depressed or if you're something, and I feel like I really want to get into poker this year. I really want to get into like,
you want to get into poker?
People. Yeah, I really want to get into like reading people, and like that's a good thing. Like think about life as poker. You don't want to expose yourself too much.
Oh, I thought you meant like you want to start playing poker. Like you want to enter tournaments. Oh, you want to do this? So you can learn how to read people's faces.
Well, just in general, I want to learn how to read. This is not what poker is all about. Yeah. It's just reading cards and reading people, mm-hmm. and just like, you know, a legal way of making money.
Yeah,
by scamming people. Anyways, but I think that's a good approach and I think that's what the approach of what our parents might have.
Yeah,
especially being like, you know, moving from a different culture to here. It's like, no, I mean, back then they didn't really talk about mental health in like Latin America.
Well, they didn't
worried about something else.
I mean, they never really rewarded that kind of thing. And also a theory I've been working on is it's because of novelas. Now, when you watch a Spanish soap opera, the actors or the characters are very dramatic. Mm-hmm. So when they're sad, they run into a room, they dramatically fall onto the bed and they cry. They do like tight shots on them. All of their emotions are all dramatized and heightened excessively. So when a character is sad, you feel like, oh, that's so dramatic. So a person whose main association with emotions like that, especially like sadness, sees it as a performance, as a character thing versus as a real thing. So it's kind of harder for them to do that. Especially, I mean, it was never really something that was super addressed. My mom always talked about how she was like, I don't get to see the point of getting a therapist. And then I kind of broke it down to her from my perspective of it. So she's, you know, strongly considered it since. So she's openly talked about being depressed herself, but it's something that's very, like, for her, that is a vulnerability that she doesn't want to show. Like, feel, yeah. She feels like she's showing all her cards in poker kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's how they think. My family's the same. I'm a very big advocate of,
getting a little closer.
I'm a very big advocate of, like, mental health, definitely. As a matter of fact, I believe I told you this, I'm part of a comedy group.
Yeah.
And we have a residency at Second City, and our show is called Fuck That Shit, presented by Fuck Shit Up. Mm-hmm. And we address mental health issues. Yeah. And we do improv based off of it. And, you know, in the beginning, we, you know, tell everyone where to get, like, low income or free mental health, because we're definitely not experts. But I'm a very, very big advocate for it. And, you know, during the time I was on house arrest, like, I was going through a lot for obvious reasons. Like, it's not normal for a woman in her, you know, early 30s to be on house arrest. You know, there's obviously deeper issues, and, you know, I took it to the next level, and I definitely feel like my life has changed completely because of therapy.
I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, you've known me for a while. So it's like, dude, I really owe therapy a lot. And I, like, I'm leading by example in my own life. And I'm, like, showing my mom, like, yo, like, I fucked up and I got help. You should too.
It's hardest when you do things like, first of all, the fact that you're fucking making an effort to not only better yourself, but you're not, let's step back. You're not just making an effort. You're succeeding at it. So, you know, there's people who say, I'm trying to do something. You're just doing it. So you're not trying, you're doing. And, you know,
it's all about manifestations. Like, you really, really create what you want. You know, I said I wanted a place with a view and no carpet. I got it. And it's like, so you earlier saying, like, I'm going to put a candle. I'm going to spill a candle on myself. It's like, no.
I wasn't going to spill. I was going to drink it.
There you go. Brujeria is real. And so, like,
you're so many floors up. I love it. By the way, I debated being a hero and walking up the stairs.
Oh no!
This many floors. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be cool and just walk up, not take the elevator. I am so glad I did not do that.
Yeah, I'm like breathing hard just thinking of going up those stairs. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, so
I would have canceled this podcast because I'd be too busy taking camp on the fourth floor and just being like, all right, we'll reach the top in the morning.
I love it. So manifestations, man.
Yeah, I dig it. Cool. Good for fucking you. And I feel like I'm not the best friend because I haven't gone to go see it yet. I mean, I got my own thing going on, but it's at the same time, it's like, I will come out to see you. I had so I don't know. I think
January 28th, Second City.
All right, I'll be there. And
anyone listening, it's really, it's only $10.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than therapy.
That's true. You know what? I was... yesterday I was telling myself, like, all right, the day before we record, I'm gonna come out and I was gonna watch a show. And I was texting with you yesterday to confirm the date, and I had no idea that it was already Wednesday when I was talking to you. So I was completely fucking thrown off, and I was still fucking painting an apartment, which, by the way, seeing an apartment after someone else moves out, it's so fucking gross. I pulled out of one of the cabinets a bag.
No.
The bag had... No. So here are the normal contents. A tea bag, a little powdered packet for coffee, a ruler, and then a condom. So...
Maybe the ruler and the condom.
The ruler and the condom were definitely together. So I was like... And I touched the ruler, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I wish I had brought out the condom first. At least I would have... You know, so it was, I was like, you know what, the dude fucking, and what bothered me about it was that it was in the kitchen pantry. Like, does that mean he was at his kitchen when he measured his dick when he was going to, like.
I mean, his house, his rules, dog.
That's true.
Yeah.
I suppose. But I feel like there has to be a drawer for that. that isn't where your dishes go, you know, or your food. He might not have known that it was in there, kind of thing, because he did leave it behind, you know. So that, or it's like it was the only thing left behind. So he might have just done that to fuck with me.
Or maybe one day someone came to like visit him and he's like, oh shit, what if he had it on like his kitchen table? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh shit, I gotta hide this. No one could know I was doing this in the, like, you know, kitchen table.
Well, there was one of the higher shelves. He might have hit it from, like, he might have hit it from someone. Like, like, he was watching a kid and he's like, oh, I gotta put this shit up there.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. It's like, and then he's like, he probably forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because he could, you know, get more condoms, more rulers, and more tea bags.
Yeah.
These theories. Dude, we should be beast detectives.
I mean, so what happened is he was walking home from a store. He had just bought one packet for tea, one packet of sugar, and a condom for sex. He's like, she likes drinking tea, I like drinking coffee. We'll measure the length of my hair, and then we'll have sex. And, you know, so those are probably his plans. And then he saw that there was a kid at his door. He's like, oh, my nephew's here, I gotta put this shit away. So he just shoved it in the shelf. And he's like, all right, I'll get it before I move for sure. And he did
he
not.
Never
did. No, he never no, got he
never.
It.
Detective Chavez, you did a great job.
I fucking figured it out.
You did a great job. So, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Koreatown PD is really happy for this.
I'm
really happy to have you here on this case.
I'm going to jump out this window waving a gun and just be like, I solved it. And then I'm going to land in a car and drive off.
Stupid.
You don't know. I'm an action hero.
Let's see the shoes.
So I'm wearing my Chucks.
Nah, the Chucks ain't gonna fly if you're gonna like jump.
Well, first of all,
like
these have Dr. Scholl's on them, so it's gonna be comfortable as fuck.
Okay.
And I am wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So I look like like 5-0
MacGyver kind of thing. Type. Yeah.
So I
Miami
did,
Vice.
Miami Vice. Which is the one with Tom Selleck?
Magnum PI.
Yeah. I could be a Magnum PI kind of guy.
Okay.
If I had like three other friends, I could be the A team. But yeah, I'm not cool enough for that.
No, that's why it's called the Awkwardly
Social Podcast. I love how you were like trying so hard to like it's. That's why it's called the.
I was trying to prompt you.
I didn't know what you were going for. I thought you were going to say that's why it's called Magnum PI, but you were like, nope, it's called
Awkwardly Social Podcast.
There you go. See, perfect. We got it. We figured it out.
Yay.
Cool. And your name is Steve?
Steve?
Yeah.
No, it's Christian.
Oh, with the lowercase backwards K.
Yes. Okay, you know, you want to know something funny?
What's that?
Steve's my brother's name.
What?
Yeah.
I always use Steve like as a default name for people.
It's so like gringo. Like, I think that's how my parents wanted us. They wanted to assimilate into society.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me like a Christian and then him, Steve.
But it's Christian's like, not even a white name. It's
Hebrew. Better. It's more than Hebrew. No, it's like the ultimate like goyim name. It's Christian. Isn't Hebrew like Jewish? Like Christian literally means
not necessarily
Christ.
Not necessarily Jewish, but like I mean, it is a play on Christ, which Jewish.
I like to
he was
think
Jewish, so he, that was a
okay.
Thing, yeah.
I personally say that my name is Christian, like Dior.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I would have said like Slater.
No, didn't you get? That's a good one though, but yeah. No. Do you know what? Now, like at work, like I'll say, they'll ask for my name and I'm like, oh, Christian. They'll be like Christian Grey. And I'm like, dumb.
That.
That's such a lame ass reference.
Okay. Christian Grey is 50 Shades, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
50 Shades.
Is it Dorian Grey or Christian Grey? I thought it was
Dorian Grey is like foods that never age.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, like vampires.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's that Oscar Wilde story.
Yeah, the guy who's like, he has a painting where the
painting
ages.
Gets old, yeah. But he stays young.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
I would be down with it. But imagine if the thing that the portrait that ages or and gets wounded and stuff is like a selfie. Like you take a selfie and then you're just like, dude, your fucking selfie is getting like, it's melting. What is happening there? But like, I don't know. I'm just too busy looking young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't want to be young though forever. Would you want to live like hundreds of years?
I mean, not hundreds of years. I mean, I'd I don't know. That seems... You know what? Parts of me want to say... The old me. You know what? I'm going to embrace this. The old me would be like, of course not. Yeah. Fucking end this now. Like, I had a really good vacation this year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it can't get better than that. Honestly, life is ill. Over.
Out but this window into a car?
You almost ran into a car?
No, I'm saying out this window into a car. That's how,
that's how I would go. Yeah. No, that's dumb. I'd go out with, like, pills. Come on.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Get with the program. There's no fucking messiness here. Just out. Right. But parts of me are like, I'm just going to enjoy the moment. And I have some plans that I definitely want to share with people. And, like, you know, just there's stuff that I still want to do.
Yeah.
So
I think
I don't know if, like, living that forever, I feel like I'd finish it. Give me like 40 years. It's like fucking finish it.
Yeah. I've inherited my mom's sort of perspective. Cause my mom was always, I think I always thought, cause my mom used to always say this growing up, but like, you know, if I'm, you know, at 50, I'm good. Like I'm good. If it ends there at 50, you know, like, and she would always have this mentality of she didn't care if she died young. She just didn't want to, she didn't care if she died. She just didn't want to die young. But she, no, I'm sorry. She didn't want to die old. My mom had sort of like a fear of like aging, so she would rather die than age out.
Yeah, it's sort of like a band, like you want to like exit out on like a high note.
Yeah, like, so
all right, cool. I made this cool album.
Yeah.
Made maybe a cool sophomore album and then
yeah.
I'm gonna exit stage left. I feel like life maybe could be like that, like yeah. You know. Like we should aim for like okay, well, let's aim for whatever our goal is, you know, me, whatever, writing for Saturday Night Live or some shit like that.
Mm.
And then maybe another one, you know, a little back-to-back hit. And then I could just, like, exit stage left.
Yeah. I would want to do...
Are we talking suicide?
We're talk not, I mean, we are making a suicide pact right now. We're both going to make sure we each accomplish at least two of our goals.
Two really big ones. And then we
hop into a jacuzzi, pop in a few pills, listen to some Rapper's Delight or something.
No. If I'm going to exit, I'm going to exit in a decadent way.
Okay. Yeah. What's your decadent piece out? Do you have, off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, definitely the Opera House. I definitely have to see the opera right before.
Yeah.
Like, probably, like, axe myself in Vienna or, like, you know, somewhere where I could be a burden to white people. Got him! Yeah, that's right. Pick up my fucking brown dead body from your fancy-ass hotel, motherfucker.
These fucking minorities just keep coming in here.
Yeah, that's right. Fucking rub my money all over you. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Or, yeah.
I would want to go out on a knock-knock joke. Like, knock-knock, who's there?
Not me.
Hello? Who's there? Like, oh, no. Outside of my door?
No. Would you be dramatic?
Would I be dramatic about the way I go?
Yeah.
No. I mean, like, if I was... What if I, like, did it, like, but, like, in a movie? I was filming a movie. They're like, this is his death scene. I'm like, goodbye. And then I actually die. Yeah. Like, damn, he's committed to the part. Like, something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
No, do you mean, like, what would I do if I... If I knew that I was, like, going to die tomorrow kind of thing?
No, just, like, okay, confession. Mm-hmm. I had a friend but my friend committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that he was very... It's crazy because I did mescaline with him. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I'm revealing too much, but maybe that's why he's gone, but... No, we stopped talking like for a minute and I know that he like fell in love with some woman and like that woman didn't give him time and like he like got all of her letters and teddy bear and like just like shotgun himself in front of her house at like 6 p.m.
That's like, so sad.
That's very sad, but it's very dramatic, but that's the type of person that he was. Oh, don't mind that. It's probably him.
He's knocking to send us a message. Yeah, he's right. Like, dude, that's personal. That's so funny.
But like that to me was like, you know, obviously it wasn't the girl's fault. Like yeah. that was like some underlying like
mental health thing.
Deep. Yeah. And like, it's crazy because like you would see the signs, and that's why I'm such a big advocate of like mental health.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, we kind of all saw the signs. Like he had no business. He was so dark. So dark.
Was it like emo dark or like depressed? Like,
it was like I knew something was up because he was just so funny.
Yeah.
That it was like, because you know, it's like.
You always got to worry about those funny fuckers.
The funnier they are, the like deeper into the depression they might be.
The harder they're working for to try to make it sunny.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So that's why. Oh, you know what? Thank you. I needed to hear that. I needed a reason to know that I'm not funny because I'm not. I love life. Yeah. To a certain degree.
You're funny.
Thank you. No, I know that. I know that. Yeah.
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 I saved you? It's like, she's not funny, but I don't want her to off herself.
Dumb.
No.
Anyways. Yeah. So.
Same thing. I had friends who kill themselves. I feel like it's the more it happens, the more you're just like, especially like a lot of comics that like, there are comics that I met who, when I first started doing comedy and like, three of them have already killed themselves. And what sucks is that, like,
we're all so sad.
Yeah.
We know each other, like, personally, and I know that we've both expressed, you know, at certain points, like, how sad we've been.
Yeah.
Or just, like, you know, just depression and all that. And it's so true.
On this podcast, I constantly recommend people seeking, help. And I even provide my email if anybody ever needs to reach out. And people have reached out. Sometimes I'll do a segment where I would ask people would give me, awkward advice. Or I would give them awkward advice.
Yeah.
And then they would, some of the people would be like, oh, don't put this on. And then they'll start doing it. So it started sort of like a back and forth email exchange kind of thing. So it just kept like communicating with them, and that was always really kind of great that, you know, I was like, okay, cool. Now go get help. I'm happy to answer some questions for you, or listen to you, but you have to make sure that you reach out, you know, and do that. Speaking of depression, if you guys want to check out a comedy show, I'm going to be at the Ha Ha Comedy Club February 28th. It's going to be my birthday comedy show. So if you want to go to that, I didn't want to like throw it in there randomly. I was going to do it at the beginning, but I was like, you know what? We got to bring the energy up a little bit because depression is a serious thing. But luckily, you and I were more about life than we are about death.
Definitely.
So, you know, I'll just bring it up. But it's I'm not saying you. I'm saying like we. You don't work this hard to better yourself with the intention of like ending it now, you know?
Of course. Yeah. No. It's also like, you know, the mentality you put yourself in. I definitely stopped listening to a lot of fucking depressing ass music.
You're like, and oh now, man, here Morrissey just gets me.
Yeah. But now I just like try to listen to beats, meditate more, listen to myself bright where I've been, you know, just keeping that energy up.
Do you write poetry and like poetry slam kind of shit?
No, I don't. But recently I feel like we're all poets. Mm-hmm. De poeta y loco todos tenemos un poco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we just need to find a muse or an inspiration.
I can't do poetry anymore.
You need to find a muse or an inspiration.
I definitely. But I'm saying is that like I can't take poetry serious anymore. Oh. I used to write poems all the time, and it was a very sort of angsty way of like putting shit out there. Or when I would like fall in love or have a crush or whatever, like I always did these kinds of things. But ever since I started doing stand-up has been the most honest version of, because with poetry, it's all metaphorical. Yeah, you follow a pattern or a rhyme, you build all these things. With comedy, you just say the actual thing rather than an implication or using, you know, they're like, oh, there's, you know, it's like saying my heart aches like a tree that's aging out in the field where no one can watch it grow or die. And it's like on comedy, you're like, dude, I'm fucking feeling like shit. I drank way too much. So, you know, I cut out the middleman verbally. I respect what people do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's such a douchebag thing for me to say, but it's, you know, like I've gotten better at just being direct with how I feel.
Yeah.
So poetry doesn't have the same effect with me as it used to.
Yeah. Two things. One, there's a comic named Juan Garcia Chepo.
I know Chepo.
Yeah, Chepo says, like, if I'm not funny, it's just poetry. Yeah. So it's like...
I love him.
Yeah, I love him too. And the other thing too is like, I feel you on that. I feel you on the whole being like too wordy. Like, I feel like the older I get, the more efficient I want to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. What are you trying to say? Yeah. Like, let's just get to the point. Like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And you know, how you feel about poetry, I feel like that's how I feel with musical theater. Mm. It's like, ugh, like... Really, you're gonna do a fucking full on 10-minute solo?
Yeah.
Like, that's too much. It's too much.
The only reason I would like that is just because I like karaoke. So I feel like I would only do fucking theater because I'm like, oh man, I really want to fucking sing this fucking Queen song or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't sing as good as enough to be able to do that. But like, I understand why you would want to do it. But I'm with you where like it's so hard to kind of take that kind of stuff serious. But at the same time, part of liking that kind of stuff is we're taking ourselves too serious to be able to enjoy that stuff. So, you know, like we can find things that we like, but you know, and where like you have to sort of dial it back or just be in the moment versus like being like, dumb, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I have to remind myself of that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think musical theater is awesome, but there's just certain like soliloquies that could have been shaved off some minutes.
Yeah.
It could have, you know, that 10-minute solo, really, it could have, like, someone else could have shined for, like, 3 more minutes.
Yeah. I've wanted to do one theater production, just one, where I have a solo number, just one. And I don't
like
even want
singing?
To, yeah.
Okay.
But I want it to be, like, super short.
Why don't you do musical improv?
Hell no. It's... comedy. It's not that I'm not good at improv.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not my path. It's, you know, it's like,
yeah,
stand up and improv are cousins.
Two different beasts.
They're cousins, but it doesn't mean that like you can just because you do one, you can do the other one. If you're fortunate enough to be a fucking person that can do both, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know, but there's. It's not my strength, nor do I really want it to be. Like, it's not something where I'm like, I really want to work that muscle out. The only reason I ever considered it is because I thought it would get me more work, not because I actually want to do it.
You know what? The more I get into this like comedy thing, the more I see it as like a personal development.
Yeah,
like just trying to be sharp and stuff like that.
But I did see like you. Have you considered acting?
I mean, don't I do it every day? But yeah, acting's cool. You know what? I'm just such a bad actress. I really do think so. Like, because I'm a really bad liar. Like, you could really tell when I'm like jealous, when I'm like mad. And I tried playing it off and I'm like,
you know, then that's a character you should go for. Don't try to be, don't go audition to be the friendly neighbor. Go to be like the fucking jealous ass girlfriend. Go in there.
No. How about this? Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Perfect.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
Look at that. We fucking cut the bullshit out.
Cut the bullshit out. Let's be more efficient. I'm like, yeah. I definitely I'll consider it, but for me, more so, I like the liberty of. I mean, yeah, the acting. We all act. Don't you have to act when you like go on stage and you do stand up?
Yes, I do.
It's not that it's a different you, but it's a character you.
No,
wrote
it is.
Out.
It's a heightened me. It's,
exactly.
It's a version of me that is like comfortable, which I'm not, you know? So I get that. I would play, you know, I play that part. So I get what you're talking about. I want to check out your improv show because improv, I love improv. It's just not something I can do. I mean, it's not that I don't really want to do it, but like I love seeing it when I watch.
It's cool and it's very interesting as far as like you have to find the right dynamic or in the right group.
I love watching a live reaction where you didn't know what you were gonna say a minute before you said it. You know, like so you just you go with it on the fly. Like when we were talking about stupid Magnum PI thing or whatever. So it's like, you know, that kind of stuff. I love riffing. So that's why I love improv. But it's an exercise that that I don't like to exercise. No, I'm, yeah. It's
yeah. I feel you on that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So many crunches. It's just like, are six packs worth it?
Crunches. Yummy. Anything crunchy. I have to have some element of crunch in my food to really enjoy it. Like, maybe it could be like crispy onions, or maybe like some, like, you know, like crispy onions.
I don't like onions.
Onions, how are you, like three?
Onions add a good flavor. Onions add a good flavor.
Grow up, Jose.
Like, you know, like, do you ever, like, you know when you have like I don't even know what it's called, but essentially orange rice. You know, it's like whether you like use fried like, rice? Huh?
Like a fried rice?
Yeah, kind of. But you use like
onions is like the base of everything.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It adds a great flavor. Mm-hmm. I just hate the texture of biting into it.
So no onion ring?
So I like the taste of it. I don't like the texture of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, okay. It does. But yeah. It's like it has such a common texture. It can be crispy, like an apple, like when it's like fresh, like yeah. In salsa. But it could also be like, you know, a little chewy, like mushrooms, mm-hmm. when it's like grilled. What's there not to like?
I don't know. I'm very picky. Now, my sister used to bite into an onion like it was an apple.
She used to go, that's like that's a big extreme. Her yeah. breath must be kicking.
I mean,
that, like this, she was crying, like, you know, the onion.
Yeah, I don't know why.
No offense,
what
sorry. That was really rude.
That's totally fine. So she brushes her teeth now, but like, yeah, for sure she had dank breath as a kid, you know.
Like, that's like really intense, like as a kid, to yeah. really, like, because kids are so picky. I remember I didn't even like avocado until like maybe until recently. You know what I don't like?
What's that?
Papaya.
Which one's papaya?
What do you mean, which one's papaya?
I don't know. Papaya? I don't know all food. Why would I have to know
papaya? It? The good papaya is so, like, common.
Well, I mean, unless a papaya is in a cheeseburger, I probably won't know what a papaya is. You know, it's like...
Papaya is a fruit.
But I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, look. Not papaya. Dude, are you secretly gringo?
No, it's... You know what? How do you not... Papaya? No, it's just... I don't have anything... Like, I see what it is. I know what it is. But yeah. I don't. It's like not something that I like eat. It's not a gringo thing. It's a food preference.
No one eats this. I fucking hate it.
That's what I'm saying. It's a food preference.
It's gross.
You just remind. By the way, you need to charge your fucking phone. So
the story of my life. Why are you putting me on blast? All my friends are gonna be like, she doesn't charge it.
No. So my buddy, I posted this thing the other day, being funny, and I was at this New Year's party, and I said, I don't recognize any of the songs that the mariachi is playing because none of those songs are from the soundtrack from the movie Coco. So that was my stupid fucking joke.
Silly.
And then he was like, bro, the Weddles got you. You're one of them now. He's like, you're not Hispanic enough. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I didn't take offense, but I think he took offense to my defense because this is what I told him. I grew up around mariachis. I grew up around Spanish music, but I didn't like it as a kid because it's a preference thing. It's not a Hispanic thing. It's like if you listen to a certain music because you're Hispanic, not because you do or don't like it, that's when it's like, okay, I get it. But it's like it never spoke to me. It's like I listened to a lot of like 90s hip-hop and R&B, but it doesn't mean I was Americanized or that I was urban or anything. That's just the music that spoke to me. You know, it's like so... So just because I didn't listen to it at the time, you know, like I wouldn't pick up the music on it. It's like, yeah, sure. You recognize all mariachi music because it's so similar to one another. And the people at the party were all singing along to it. I was like, oh fuck, everybody here but me knows this fucking song. Yeah. And at the same time, I was like, well, I don't feel bad if I don't know it. I just didn't fucking listen to it growing up.
Yeah. So yeah. And I think not in defense or anything like that, but I feel like Latino culture, or, you know, people who speak Spanish, mm-hmm. it's this culture of vacilando. You know, vacilando is to fuck around. They fuck around with you. They poke at you.
Yeah.
And that's what he was trying to do, was just poke. When I hang out with my god sisters, like I hung out with them on like Christmas Eve, they were like fucking Bilbo Baggins. They were just bagging me up a storm. Yeah. And I mean, I love it. At the end of the day, I'm like, I'm a hit. I'm a play hard with you guys. It gets annoying. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It does get annoying. And especially in moments like this where it's like, you know, it's cool. You know, you're not less Latino. You're not less anything because you don't listen to mariachi, you know? Yeah. I I have like, there's traditional like Colombian music. I respect it all. And I'm very careful as to what I say about like traditional like ranchero music and music of like mariachi or like vallenatos, or in Colombia it's guascas. Guascas are like montañero music, music from like lo ordinario, you know, like the ghetto, if you will.
Yeah.
And
it for sure is ghetto. A lot of fucking ranchero music is essentially telling stories of like mobsters or mafia kind of stuff.
Okay. But this is what I'm trying to say, is that I'm very careful as to how I approach it, because I do understand there's a deeper element to it. There's a deeper element of like, you know, popular music,
mm-hmm.
because it's music for the popular, and I respect it because it's like the street art of music, you know, it's for everyone. And, you know, me, I want to acknowledge it, and I want to definitely acknowledge the importance it has to people from like, you know, those areas. These are stories. This is storytelling that they're listening to. And what we might perceive as ghetto is something so important to them.
Yeah.
And I respect that. And I hate that word. I hate that word. It's like growing up, you know, my last name sounds similar to barrio. So like, they would call me barrio and be like, my last name's not a Spanish ghetto. Okay, it's pronounced like this. But it's like there is a beauty to the barrio.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm very careful, because growing up before I was like, no, I don't listen to that music. I got class. But you see how snobbish that sounds? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not better than anyone because I don't listen to a particular type of music. That's why now I'm like, I used to be ashamed. It's funny you bring up the story, because like growing up I listen to a lot of music, and I feel like I'm a very cultured woman, and I listen to all different types of music. And, you know, quote unquote, one of my like guilty pleasures is Mariah Carey. I absolutely love Mariah Carey.
And or 90s, 90s and early 2000s Mariah Carey?
All of Mariah Carey. Okay. Even current Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey's still coming out with fucking bangers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she is. I'll play
it. I'm not judging her. I fucking loved everything she did back then. I haven't paid any attention to what's coming out now.
Prolific artist. But nonetheless, when you're like 20 and going to Europe for the first time, mm-hmm. with like, you know, your girlfriend, and you're picking up on like two really hot guys, and then they're asking you what type of music, you best believe I said, oh, me? Oh, I really like underground music. I'm really into Sonic Youth. I'm really into Radiohead, you know, underground shit. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend was being a fucking hater. And she's like, don't you love Mariah Carey? And I'm like, that's how I remember her saying it. I'm pretty sure she said it in a cute way,
yeah.
to be cute. Like, but
it's so grating when you know that they're calling you out on your bullshit.
She called me out on my bullshit. And it wasn't even bullshit. I still like Radiohead. And I fucking love Sonic
Youth.
But
that wasn't your default response, was it?
Of course, but it wasn't. But I really love, yeah. Mariah Carey more than them.
Yeah.
And she tried shaming me. And you know what I said?
Hmm.
Yes, Mariah Carey is my favorite. I love Mariah Carey. But I listen to other music.
Yeah.
So that's when the fucking personality came out, and I find out what a fucking Judas friend was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, was she just trying to get like the both dudes or whatever?
She just didn't know how to like, seeing was it as a woman. Come on, bro.
I'm just trying to figure out, because she might have thought she was being funny in the moment, not realizing she was trying to fuck you over. Like, she didn't realize that that's
no,
what
I could have done. No, 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 no.
I don't know. No, I'm guessing here. I'm trying to defend your friend.
Yeah. Why? What's up? You want to fucking fight?
Yes.
What's going on? I love me and Mariah Carey will fuck you up.
I came over here to say that me and Andre 3000 will meet you anywhere, anytime.
Perfect. Pull yes. up. No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, this is, I mean, we were very young. So, I mean, what is it to say? Like, I don't really judge anything that anyone does until after they're 25 or 26.
Even then, I'll judge them. I judge maybe, if they're okay. not responsible for themselves, but I don't judge their day-to-day decisions in terms of like what they do to entertain themselves.
I just feel like maybe I don't really trust anyone that's like under 30.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like everyone else is like kind of like on a probation, if you will. Like even fucking family.
Yeah.
Like,
If you make it to 30, you're still welcome to be a person who hasn't figured their life out.
Yeah.
But you have to have a certain level of responsibility that you just did not have at their.
Yeah, yeah, 30. Exactly. Yeah. There's just a certain moment where it's like 30 years is a good amount of time. Like a couple of people have died
yeah.
in your life. Like you've dealt with life. A couple of people have been born, maybe. A couple of people have definitely have gone through life changes.
You for sure outlived a friend.
You know, yeah, you outlived a friend at the age of 30, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. At least one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I'm like, all right, cool. You understand this fucking humanity shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah. I get it. But yeah, popular music. I'm all about reggaeton. Yeah. Don't cringe.
This episode is over. I'm going to take the candle and I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah. No, as you listen to reggaeton afterwards. Yeah. It's crazy.
Like Dame Más Gasolina kind of shit?
Oh my God. Have you seen the video of Tom York dancing to that song?
No.
Bro.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really funny. You guys can check out Jose's IG later because I'm going to show it to him.
I don't know. Sure.
It's really funny. It's like someone does a dub of like Tom York from Radiohead.
Dancing. Oh, he wasn't actually doing it. Like he didn't do it live. Somebody dubbed it over.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm less invested now. I thought it was him like at a concert just dancing to it. I was like, Tom York doesn't seem like the kind of guy that'll fuck around with that, which is what made it
He wouldn't. Tom York is like the ultimate cool guy. Like, yeah. Tom York, Trent Reznor.
He's snobby. He hates the song Creep.
I mean, at this point in his career, like, he could say that.
Well, no, he's never liked it. Do you know the that happens in the song?
Yeah.
The band hated the song when they were producing it or recording it. And they were like, why do we even fucking come up with this? But they were like, no, it's a good fucking song. Let's produce it. So when the guitarist was doing that thing, he was doing it out of aggression because he thought he would ruin the take of the recording and make it unusable. But instead, it gave it its iconic sound that people ended up loving. So it's like such a weird thing. So that's why they don't play it live ever. That's what I would want to do before I died. Fucking
see Radiohead.
Make Radiohead fucking play that song live. I'm like, you motherfuckers better play this shit.
Oh my God. What if they play it at your funeral?
Oh my God.
Meta.
They would hate that. I mean, my family would, but I would love it.
Yeah.
I would be like, it's my fucking funeral. You fucking listen to the song and move on. I just dropped a pen.
Dropped it like it was hot.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I just totally stopped the podcast just so I could try to my fat ass throat to pick up a pen. My face got all red. I was like, oh God. So yesterday I did the painting, and then today I did it again before coming here. Uh-huh. And I had to go drop off some equipment. But so yesterday I put in like 10 hours of just manual labor and working nonstop because these motherfuckers don't quit or slow down. And today, when I was trying to pick up a fucking paint bucket, those motherfuckers are heavy. So I was like, normally when I'm at the gym, I'm like, yeah, fucking 35 pounds, blah, 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 working out, it feels good. I pick up this thing, I'm like, struggle with it. And I'm fucking picking it up, and my back's just slowly starting to, like, fucking collapse on me. And so right now, I felt it more than I felt it at any point today. Just so I can try to bend down and pick up a fucking pen. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, I'm aging. I'm falling apart.
No, I mean, you're also doing really hard manual labor.
That's true. But I only did it for 2 days. These motherfuckers do it 6 days out of the week for like 20 years. I'm like, I can't complain for that. That's why the entire time I did not complain at all. Because I was like, I don't fucking have a third of the strength that you guys have right now, because they have such stamina from fucking always doing this shit. I was like, god damn it, I am impressed. Let's you know what, this is a good episode. Let's go and wrap it up there.
Sounds great.
It was fun. We'll do it again. Well, I'll have you on again for sure. That was a good hour.
Perfect.
That's a fucking, people are gonna listen to this during their lunch. They're gonna be like, yummy. Oh my god, I gotta find Kristen.
No.
Boreos.
Stupid. Yeah. Woo. Good one. See? It's actually at Divine Diosa IG. Yeah. And then Diosa No Joda on Twitter.
Spell Joda for them because I don't think they'll know how to spell it.
No, then No Joda. Then don't fucking follow me. Fucking stupid. No, it's DiosaNoJoda.
Yeah.
Diosa No Joda on Twitter. So pretty wild.
Yeah, that's
or in at Divine Diosa.
Yeah, I'll tag you on the post so they'll know how to stalk you. I mean, yeah. So me, you know me. Again, I am actually going to be at the HaHa doing a birthday show. It's my show. It's going to be the first Awkward Day Social Comedy show that I've produced in over a year.
Ooh, I'm excited. Yeah. And it's also by
coincidence, it's my birthday show. They were just end of February. I'm like, dude, that's fucking right around my birthday. Cake? I don't know. I didn't want to celebrate my actual birthday, but it's so close to my birthday where I was like, if you want to celebrate me, fucking come to this shit.
Yeah. Cake. So what kind of cake do you like?
Ice cream. That's all I fuck with. Cake? Yeah. So February 28th at 9 p.m. at the fucking HaHa. At the HaHa in North Hollywood. Email me, josechavezcomedian@gmail.com to get tickets. I will be more than happy to set you up with some complimentary tickets. You got to be there before 8 p.m. in order for you to be able to get them. Nice. But I'll be happy to set that up for you. Follow me on social medias at I am Jose Chavez. You know that much, I'm sure. AwkwardlySocialComedy.com. AwkwardlySocialComedy.com. Check it out. I'll be posting the episodes there. Check out past episodes. I started doing some on video so you can see my face not have any expressions at all. And yeah, thanks so much for listening to this one. Thank you so much for fucking being on this. That was great.
Yo, thank you. High five on this. This was a pleasure.
Yeah, that was great. I loved it. All right. So y'all take care and go read a book or something.
Ciao.
Nerds.